I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want. You want to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card? Kids today, they really have it rough. I have no idea where we are or where we're going. I mean, when I was their age, life was easy. Super easy. Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet? Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost. Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night. I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework. You don't have to pass all your classes. What? You have a project due tomorrow, and you've known about it for 4 weeks, and you haven't started yet? Sweet! Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet? Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up. Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me? Hey! Hey, can you please turn that music up? Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again.
I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life. Yes! More homework to correct!
All right, whining!
Yay! Tantrums! Vomit. We just really need to spoil these kids more. Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all. You're 16. You pretty much know everything now. I think 18's a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours? Thanks. Money really does grow on trees.
I hope you enjoyed a few moments of those. That was interesting to see what got the most chuckles. Learned a lot about my church there. Know how to pray for all of us. Well, that was Stuff Dads Never Say, the title of our study this morning as we come to Matthew 22. Verse 36 through 39, our title is Stuff God Does Say. What's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the great and foremost command. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with your all. Nothing left out. No hidden compartments. Nothing in reserve. With my walk with God. All my heart, all my soul, my entire being. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with your all. Number two, love all of God's world. No one left out. Today is Father's Day 2020. It does not require 2020 vision to see the 2020 obvious. Culture is rapidly melting down. Society is unraveling at every seam. The reality is we are exposed, we witness abusive economic disparity, racial tensions, moral upheaval, loneliness, restlessness, hopelessness are common. We could easily say characteristic of our world as a whole. But this is not a surprise. It has been heading this way ever since sin entered the garden, when the first man and the first woman defied God, rebelled against God, ignored God's commands. And the scriptures tell us that through one man's sin, sin has been passed on to all of us. We are all born as sinners with the curse and the taint of sin. Sin is our living reality. It's our lasting reality for the last several thousand years, ever since the Garden of Eden. And that sin is a killer of harmony when it comes to civilizations. And sin is a killer in relationships. It's not a surprise, and it's not getting any better. And we are learning through experience what the scriptures have told us all along. This planet can never produce paradise. Doesn't mean we don't work on what's good, work on what's godly, work on what's right. But this planet will never be able to produce what God created in an instant, with a thought and a word. It is hopeless, and we are hopeless without Jesus. The planet needs grounding. The planet needs guiding help. Grounding hope, guiding help, the stability of Christ, and the stability that Christ's church is to bring to its culture, its society, its history, its influence. Our world needs the glue of God's word on Father's Day about the family. Here the flames begin to flicker, spark just a bit. You see, there never is a day where God is silent. God has much to say. And he has much to say about the life and the world in which we are existing and living right now. What he has to say, we need to hear. We need to hear in order to do what he expects us to do. We need to do what he expects us to do to become what he wants and demands us to become. As individual followers of Jesus, as collective followers of Jesus. And today can be a turning point from any and all misdirections. Today can be a new starting point for better family and community days ahead. It starts with us. It starts with us as a church. It starts with us then going and being the influence God has called us to be. In a world that has gone mad, in a world that is preying on vulnerability, promoting instability, in love with itself, there's God's demand for God's people to demonstrate a stability within the instability. And if we could use one word, and here's our key word for today, it is the word responsibility. God demands God's people to demonstrate responsibility. The remedy is responsibility. We must aggressively embrace what God says about God's family. The family unit is key to peace and productivity in the society and in the church. And here we are on Father's Day, and obviously fathers play a key role in the family unit, in the community unit, in the church unit. Well, what does God say about the family? This morning we're going to look at several family responsibilities for that biological nuclear family and also the family of God. There is plenty of application for all of us today, regardless of our age, regardless of our past experiences, our present reality, our hopes for the future. Plenty of application as we come to God's word. Let's dig into our family responsibilities. To build off of what Christ calls us all to do, which is love God and love our world, I invite you to come with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to spend the predominant bulk of our study this morning in this book, in chapter 5 and chapter 6 of Ephesians. Let's look at about 8 family responsibilities very briefly this morning as we step into our world in just a short period of time. What does God say about our family responsibilities? Ephesians 5, verse 25. First of all, husbands. What does God say about the family responsibility of the husband? Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. Then drop into verse 33. There's a little more added to the responsibility here. In verse 33, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as you love yourself, to the depth and breadth of loving yourself. Responsibility number one, husbands, actively love your wife as Christ does love his church. And then the little extra in there, the frosting on the cake, actively love your wife as you actively love yourself. Actively love. And that example there is kind of a blow your socks off moment as Christ loved the church and died for it, died for us. That is what we are called to do in being men of God. And in a culture that is somewhat clueless, we are here to model it and to express it in such a way that the culture gets a picture of the direction to head. And it is so important for us to faithfully live out these family responsibilities. Number two, family responsibility number two, wives. In verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then again, drop into verse 33 with me, where we get a little more of the picture, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Family responsibility number two, respect, wives, respect and submit as Christ submitted to the Father. You can trace that through the New Testament. Christ ranked his freedom, his will, under the Father's will. Remember what he said, not my will, but yours be done. He did it perfectly. We're going to have a little more of a challenge and not always do it perfectly. But we are all called to be submissive to the authority, to rank ourselves under the authority, and this is one of those there. Wives, respect and submit as Christ submitted to the Father. Doesn't mean that wives are doormats, that they never have an opinion, but we have the structure that is given there for us. And again, that's another blow your socks off with the responsibility that God has clearly given to us. As we are here in this passage, we're going to look at it, what does God say about the family from a number of different angles. You might want to circle in verse 25, circle or highlight husbands. And in verse 22, circle or highlight the word wives. It'll help you as you kind of are working your way through Scripture. And there'll be several more, and we'll jump into verse 4 of chapter 6 right now. Ephesians 6, verse 4, let's look at our third responsibility. You'll see the word fathers there, and I'm going to address this as parents, but fathers are key. This is predominantly given to fathers, but I know moms would like to know their responsibility, right, too? So we're going to address this as parents, but circle that word fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Some of your translations will say, do not exasperate your children. And the contrast from that is bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The picture there is that of a hypocrite, someone who says one thing and does another. And God challenges us as parents, and he challenges us as fathers to not be hypocrites before our children, to not tell them, here's the expectation, do this, and we're not doing it, and we're modeling it before them. And you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but in a family, especially, the truth comes out, and our kids will see the disconnect, the hypocrisy, and that can really muddle the message that may be perfectly right. But to say church is important, the Bible is important, obeying God is important, and expecting that from the kids, but then modeling just the opposite, gives them a very confusing message. They're going to go in the path of least resistance. We are called to not frustrate our kids with hypocrisy. Well, you might say, well, that is how I was raised. That's how I grew up. I don't know anything else. I don't know anything better. The great news about Christianity, the great news about the power of God, the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of Scripture, is that we can break past sinful cycles. We can break past sinful cycles. And if you know anything about my family history, that's what my parents did, and especially my father. He broke the cycles and the pattern that were fleshed out for him. And he did it totally different. Imperfectly, but imperfect for me too. But it leaves us with no excuse because the power of God is in play here. Break the cycles. Let's stay in chapter 6. Let's move over to verse 4. It's great to have kids in here. Children in here in this service and in the following service. And if you ever wonder, is there anything for me? Well, there are three things we've already discussed. But here's a few that definitely are going to be right up your alley. Children, obey your parents. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I meant to ask that. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Wives, submit to your husbands. Amen? Parents, don't frustrate your kids. Amen? Oh, there you go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right in God's eyes. Your buddy may not think it's right. Your buddy may not care. Your buddy may ridicule you. But what's most important is, what does God say about the matter? This is right. And then a little extra in verse 2. Honor your father and your mother. Goes back to the Ten Commandments. The first commandment with a promise. Here's part of the promise. So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. Do you want to live long? All things being equal, here's a guiding principle and a promise. Honor your father and your mother. Family responsibility number 4. Children, honor your imperfect parents with respect and obedience. Honor your imperfect parents with respect and obedience. Sticking in chapter 6, let's move to verse 5. Responsibility number 5. My translation says, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. By application, this applies to any and all workers. To understand much of the New Testament, you need to understand the environment that it was written that included slavery. We need to understand what slavery was in that era. I don't have time today, but it was a much different era than what we think of in the Civil War era. Slavery is not right. It wasn't right then. It isn't right now. And we should do anything and everything in our power to combat it and to eradicate it. But the application we want to focus in on this morning is what God calls all of us to do in working relationships. We tend to have someone over us. And what does God say? Give an honest day's work at your job. The boss will be imperfect. Anybody ever work for a lousy boss? Maybe a new week ahead. You will always have imperfect bosses, work in an imperfect company. We will be imperfect families. We will be an imperfect church. But the standard of Jesus is always the standard of Jesus that we work for, aim for, strive for. And for us in the working world, we're called to give an honest day's work at the job. Now that bleeds into verse 9 and the next family responsibility. And masters, do the same thing. The same thing as the slave, the worker is called to. Give up threatening. Give up the abusive relationship, knowing that everyone is accountable to the ultimate master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be held accountable for our end of the working relationship, whether we gave an honest day's work to our employer. Employers are going to give an account for how they treated and or mistreated their workers. Bosses, employers, family responsibility number 6. Give an honest day's wages to your workers. And that is a broad brush, but it's saying do what's right before a holy God. Bring the ethics of God into the equation. You're not to be abusive, manipulative, dishonest with your employees. And again, if you work through the historical context there and what it was like in the Roman world, some were in very abusive situations and some were not. And the writers of Scripture, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, challenged one and challenged all to be real and true, and set the pace, set the agenda for what a culture and a community ought to look like. So lots of applications for us in this particular two chapters in Ephesians on what God has to say about the family. Well, two other responsibilities we want to look at this morning, and those are going to take us outside of the book of Ephesians. The first one we're going to look at is in the book of Acts. Chapter 20. You'll run to Acts chapter 20 with me. What does God have to say about husbands, wives, parents, children, workers, bosses? Number 7. What does God have to say about pastors, about elders in a church? Acts 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves. And here he's talking especially to my situation, my position. Be on guard for yourselves and be on guard for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. By the way, the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. How did Christ love the church? He bought it, purchased it with his own blood. I'm called to guard, to oversee, to shepherd. To shepherd the flock, to protect the flock, to oversee or govern the flock. Is that what an elder or a group of elders are called to do? Well, in case none of those responsibilities have touched you, which would be impossible because if you're not a husband or a wife or a parent, you've still been someone's child, and probably you're somebody's worker or somebody's boss. For the last one, come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It talks to the church as a whole. There are many responsibilities that are given to the church, but I just kind of touch on one because of number 7 as well. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, and then verse 13. Paul says, "We request of you, brethren," written to a church, taking in all of us, "that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." And then over in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, connected again with 1 Thessalonians 5 and also the relationship with pastors and elders in Acts 20. Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." That is a blow your socks off, scary truth for me. "Let them do this with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you." We all have accountability. We all have responsibilities. And we need to be faithful in those responsibilities to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In a world that's gone mad, in a world that's melting down, in a world that gladly preys on vulnerability of others, the remedy for our world is for the people of God to demonstrate responsibility. For them to see so they get a taste of the good life. And know the directions to head. And the help and the hope as they see that it really can be done. The remedy is responsibility. We must aggressively embrace what God says about God's family. What he has to say, we need to hear. We need to hear it so we know what to do. God expects us to do what he expects us to do. And these 8 responsibilities were given as commands. Commands to each and every one of those recipients. What he expects us to do, we must do, because it's part of the process of us becoming what we're called to become. What are we called to become? We're called to become like Jesus Christ. We know it will be imperfect, but that's still the target. That's still the expectation. That's still the standard by which we will all be held accountable. Now, to become like Christ, we must be intentional as we go forward. We must be intentional about loving God with our heart, soul, and mind. We must be intentional about loving our neighbor as ourself. Came across this quote this week by Oswald Chambers. It's a classic book, My Utmost for His Highest. You might profit from taking a look at that. But the quote I came across that jogged my memory was, "Your choice for God must be a deliberate determination. This is not something into which you will automatically drift." I am not going to automatically drift into Christ-likeness. I'm not going to automatically drift into being a good parent, a good father, a good neighbor. I must be intentional about it. As I thought about that, my mind was challenged and the wheels were greased a bit. And I came up with a 30-day challenge that would be profitable for all of us. And you can see that in your notes. And here's the 30-day challenge. As we seek to put love God, love our world, love our neighbor into practice. Number one, 30-day challenge. Read Joshua 24, verse 15, before every meal. That verse was sung for us earlier in our service. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now think about that. If we speak that verse out loud would be helpful. If we read that verse before every meal for the next 30 days, what are we going to be thinking about? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's going to constantly be in front of us and affect us. Number two, creatively date your mate. And you'll see the end of the sentence there, for under $10. It started off $20. Then I moved it down to $15. But you need to be creative, so we got to put it down there. Next week, $7.50. Creatively date your mate for under $10. You say, I don't have a mate. Have some fun with a friend. But creative about it. Kim and I were part of a church, and they did this, and like you signed up for it. And it was like every month we were committing to date our wife, and it was to be creative and cheap in the non-expensive sense. You know, it wasn't like going to Disneyland, and I remember someone gave us this like really fancy, expensive South Dakota cheese that squeaked in your teeth when you ate it, which I guess it makes good cheese. But we took that and we got some safe stuff to drink, and we went out and just sat there on the hillside and watched our son do track, and we just had a fun time together. Creatively date your mate. This isn't in the notes, but you want to strengthen your marriage, or you want to have a target, help your marriage, and this will work with all relationships, but especially in the marriage relationship. Four key ingredients for your marriage: time, talk, touch, and truth. And I'll talk about those more another time, but take these with you. Time, talk, touch, and truth. And this first one that we're emphasizing in the second part of the 30-day challenge involves time. And we need to make time in a busy world. So creatively date your mate, have some fun with a friend. Just, you don't have to spend a whole lot of money on it. Number three, we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. So if I'm going to put that into practice in my life, if I'm going to love my neighbor, I've got to figure out who my neighbor is. Who is our neighbor? Obviously, there's the guy that lives on the right and the guy that lives on the left, and that'll keep me going. I need to meet them. So here's the challenge. Over these next 30 days, meet two neighbors with 12 cookies. Just wrap up 12 cookies, go over and say, I just wanted to say hi, introduce myself. Nice to know you. You can return my lawnmower at any time. Here's some cookies. Why 12 cookies? Well, you've got two neighbors, right? So how many cookies is that? 24. They tell me when you make cookies that you have 36 cookies in the batch, something like that. So This neighbor gets 12 cookies. That neighbor gets 12 cookies. What are you going to do with the other 12 cookies? Eat them. There you go. See, you're all leaving here with 12 cookies today. If your children, you wonder how the Bible connects with you, how to work it out in your life, here's two for you. Number four and number five, take out the trash, whether you're asked to or not. Number five, make your bed without your brother in it. If your wife's still in it, make it anyway. Show the love of Christ. Be the love of Christ. And back on the neighbor end for a minute. Okay, so I meet the neighbor on the left and I meet the neighbor on the right. Next month, what am I going to do with those 24 cookies? Go meet the next neighbors and the next neighbors. And what's going to happen if we would do that long enough? What's going to happen? I'm going to get out of my neighborhood into somebody else's neighborhood with the love of Jesus. You know, our culture has not done that very well, and neither have our churches. It's easy to avoid the neighborhoods we don't want to be a part of. Jesus loved everyone. And I think that's his expectation for all of us. Lastly, a 30-day challenge. Invest in new relationships within your church family. Do you know everybody in this church? This church is a size where it really gets to be impossible to know everybody intimately, and that's okay. Our goal isn't for everybody to know everybody intimately. Our goal is for everybody to know Jesus. But our responsibility is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, the encouragement of Jesus, and to receive the encouragement of Jesus. And there's more people in this church body that we can and we need to meet. So let me encourage you. Doesn't mean you're all going to Disneyland together. But look out. Reach out, even just going and introducing yourself and make a connection. You got to make yourself a little vulnerable. You also need to receive and give when people reach out to you. Our key word, responsibility. The key truth from God's word today is the remedy for this crazy sinking culture is responsibility. And they will not make the connection if they don't see it in our lives. We must aggressively embrace and aggressively demonstrate what God says about the family, the nuclear biological family unit, and what God says about the family of God. Let's pray. Oh God, you have spoken. And so our first response is to say thank you. Thank you that you have not left us in the dark without light. And we thank you for allowing us to be a part of you bringing light to a world that walked away from you in the garden. And you bring people into our life to help us, and you have left us here to help others and to make a difference, to break generational divides and curses with the hope and the truth of the Creator himself. May we have a hunger to hear your voice and then advertise the unique power of Jesus to change us. Compelled and driven by Jesus' love with a cause bigger than ourselves and yet worth living, may we live each day with hope that as we intentionally intersect with people, anticipating your divine appointments, May these God moments challenge us, change us, and then change our world. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray, we live, we hope, and we share this week. Amen.